This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Been a bad week for Donald Trump. Several developments in the Mueller investigation caught his close associates in a web of lies. Special counsel prosecutors announced former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort lied to them. Yesterday, former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to lying to Congress. And a government shutdown looms. Also, the president's federal judicial pick, Thomas Farr, lost the support of another Republican senator, which effectively kills his nomination. Now, there was a little bit of good news for the president. Donald Trump's candidate, Cindy Hyde Smith, won a special election for the U.S. Senate in Mississippi. Political junkie Ken Rudin is here to talk about that and much, much more. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank.
You know, the big news with the election is District 9, the congressional district in North Carolina, which we thought was settled, albeit closely, a 900-vote victory for the Republican Mark Harris. Board of Elections won't certify it.
This is fascinating, and I mean, basically, what Mark Harris, or at least the campaign is, or at least the Board of Elections in North Carolina, which is made up of four Democrats and four Republicans, so it's not a partisan body, but they unanimously decided not to certify Mark Harris. Basically, there's evidence. There seems to be evidence of voter fraud, not only in the general election where he beat Dan McCready, the Democrat, by 905 votes, but also when he knocked off Robert Pittenger, the Republican incumbent, in the primary. But basically, they're saying that the absentee ballots look completely fraudulent, that Harris in one county, he got 96% of all the ballots cast, which is like unlikely. There were people going around in black areas of the county in the district and saying that we will collect you don't have to mail in your absentee ballots, we'll collect it for you. And then when some of the voters said, well, I didn't fill out my choices for Congress yet, they said, no problem, we'll take care of that. I mean, it just seems to be unbelievable. And it puts Mark Harris's victory into question.
No, and you're right. It's not certified, so we'll have to wait and see. What's interesting about this, Ken, is back when the North Carolina legislature first passed a voter ID bill, ultimately unconstitutional, the very first iteration of that didn't address the one area where voter fraud had ever been found in any great number, and that was in absentee ballots. Not a word about absentee ballots in the first General Assemblies, the Republican-led assemblies, voter ID law. Then they were shamed into putting it in. They said, you know, the only place we found voter fraud is in absentee ballots, and you didn't address it. They said, oh, maybe we should put that in, and they did, but it was still unconstitutional for their surgically precise exclusion of black voters. But it's fascinating that that's the one area, and here it is again, to the point that the bipartisan elections board has said we can't certify this election.
Yeah, this is something, and you know, I mean, they could force a new. I think there's a meeting of the election board today, but they could force a new election. They could disqualify Harris completely. This is far from done, and of course, Democrats have already picked up 40 seats in the House, which was a remarkable turnout, their best showing since Watergate in 1974. This could be another seat that the Democrats could pick up. At the minimum, there could be another special election.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned on that score. Now, on the other hand, the Republicans got a little stronger in the Senate thanks to a win in Mississippi. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Not a big surprise. I guess the big surprise was how inept the Republican candidate, the appointed incumbent senator, Cindy Hyde Smith, turned out to be when she talked about, well, you know, I'd love to, you know, I like this person so much. If I were invited to a public hanging, I'd be in the front row. Now, does that make her racist? It certainly makes her insensitive and embarrassing, given the Mississippi's history about lynching of black people. Talk about a public hanging, my goodness. But she only won by 8 points against Mike Espy, a Democrat who's African-American. And, you know, again, Trump campaigned hard for her. She was really a very uncomfortable candidate. And I don't know if maybe she won not because Espy was black, but maybe because Republicans don't lose in Mississippi. But this was a very not a convincing win and not an impressive candidate in Cindy Hyde Smith.
All right. Now, on the other side, for Donald Trump, he had been pushing hard for Thomas Farr, a candidate closely associated with Jesse Helms, segregationist, his talk about uncomfortable when it comes to race. Thomas Farr, and this is who Donald Trump thought should be a federal judge in the Eastern District of North Carolina, won the first round, but appears now he will not be confirmed.
And the only reason he won the first round on Wednesday was because the Senate voted 50-50. Right now it's 51-49 Republicans, but Jeff Flake of Arizona says he's going to vote against every Trump nominee for anything until they protect Robert Mueller with a Senate vote. So you know you lose Jeff Flake's vote, and Thomas Farr, the procedural vote on Wednesday advanced because Vice President Mike Pence voted to break the tie. But then on Thursday morning, to his credit, Senator Scott of South Carolina, the only African-American Republican in the Senate, said, wait a second, given the fact that Tom Farr, you know, worked on the voter ID law, the fact that he worked on the gerrymander that a federal court said that suppressed black votes, the fact that he worked on Jesse Helms' vote on suppressing the black vote in 1984 and 1990, Senator Scott said, you know something, Tim Scott said, I can't vote for it. And now other Republicans like Susan Collins, like Marco Rubio, like Lisa Murkowski said, well, you know something, maybe we're not going to vote against him. We'll vote for him either. Now, yes, the Republicans will have a bigger majority in the next Congress, but I think Farr's nomination is dead, certainly for now, but probably for next year, too, given all the strikes about him, given all the racial controversies he's been involved in. It's amazing that it was 50-50 on Wednesday.
Well, yeah, when you talk about voter suppression with Jesse Helms, this is sending postcards to black voters telling them that they were ineligible to vote with Jesse Helms. This is what he did.
If they did vote, they would be prosecuted. Yeah.
It is amazing that it was 50-50, that 50 United States senators could think that a man like that could be a judge is pretty incredible to
and
me.
And this is not 1954. This is you know.
It was embarrassing in 1954. But I get what you're saying. All right, let's talk about the Mueller investigation. Wow.
Well, you know, Michael Cohen pleaded guilty. This doesn't prove collusion about how the Russians were trying to influence the election, but it does prove that the president and Michael Cohen, but the president was not telling the truth about what his business deals were in Russia. And one wonders if the part of the lies were the fact that the reason that the president was trying to end the sanctions, I'm sorry, while Donald Trump as a candidate was trying to end the American sanctions against Russia is because he wanted these business deals that would have benefited himself and his family. And by doing so, he wanted to build this tower in Moscow. It's a plan he wanted to do for years. And so as he was fighting to get rid of the sanctions, he was working through Michael Cohen, the famous fixer, to make this tower happen in Moscow. This is just another indication of the president not telling the truth of what he was doing, and also showing that the fact that he was basically using a campaign to financially benefit himself and his family. Remarkable.
Let's talk about what's happening to Manafort. This is fascinating. Mueller and investigators say he reneged on a deal. He told lies. He promised not to lie anymore, and he continued. And so they said, okay, we're going back. We're going to file new charges. Deal is off. One of the things that suggests to me, though, Ken, I want to hear your take on this, but it does suggest to me that if they knew all the areas where he's lying already, in other words, they've got the information without Manafort. So even if he gets the pardon, and that's the reason he's keeping his mouth shut about the president, because he knows he'll be pardoned, sounds like Mueller's got the information anyway.
Well, yes, and for all we know, there may be state charges that Manafort could be brought up on, and so therefore the president, of course, could pardon Manafort on federal charges, but he can't do it on state charges. So, but the fact is that as Manafort was lying to the Mueller investigation, his lawyers were talking to the Trump people exactly what Mueller was talking about. So in other words, he was almost spying on the Mueller investigation and giving the information to the Trump people. It was so dishonest and disingenuous that, my goodness, I'd be very surprised if a pardon wasn't coming up, or at least offered by the president, because what he's accused of is just, I mean,
well, obstruction of justice
Absolutely.
Is one of the charges here. And so it looks awfully bad if you pardon the guy who had all the information on you. But it's not proof.
And there are some Republicans who are saying that you pardon somebody who's doing this on behalf of President Trump could lead to impeachable offenses. Look, we don't know what the Democrats in their new power in the House are going to do in the next year, but my goodness, the I word is not off the table when it comes to the Democrats.
No, and again, Republicans have to be looking over their shoulder given what happened in the midterms. They may have to wonder what's going to happen to them if they don't play things a little bit differently over the next 2 years than they
have. Yeah, I think you're giving the Republicans more credit than they deserve because so far, because the real critics like McCain and Jeff Flake and Corker are either gone or leaving, and who are we going to rely on? Mitt Romney? I mean, I don't know who's left who could stand up to the president.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds left. Shutdown. We'll have nothing to talk about if they shut it
well,
down.
Well, the shutdown, I mean, if the Democrats don't go along with Trump's demand that they spend $5 billion on the border wall, Trump is saying we'll shut down the government and we'll blame Chuck Schumer. I don't know how you blame Chuck Schumer for the Democrats not paying for a wall that President Trump insisted Mexico would pay for.
No, but the Democrats do have now, they're sharing power in the House, so they do have a little bit to worry about when it comes to whose fault was it, right?
Well, not until January. And right now they're talking about a shutdown in December.
In December. Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, how closely tied is North Carolina to the CIA's torture program? This state was involved, and we'll talk about that involvement on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.